On Robinhood Radio, we have been talking a lot about, for the past 3 months or so, about a very exciting thing that will eventually come to our local area. And we're talking about the Community Health and Wellness Center. And we spoke with Dr. Russo about, I think, a month and a half, 2 months ago. And what we're going to speak about now ties in with what we're all living through. And first of all, Dr. Russo, thanks for joining us, and happy holidays to you.
Yes, and to you also.
You know, it's I sit here as someone who we initially used to post COVID-19 reports every day from the state. Then we went down to once a month. And we're still once a week. We're still at once a week, but it looks like we're going to start posting once again a little bit more, because I know in the states that we cover, which is New York State and here in Connecticut, the infection rates, the percentages have skyrocketed in New York. They went from a little over 1% of the area we cover to about 6%. And our little section of Connecticut went from very low 1% up to a little under 8%, and now I think resides somewhere around 7%. So we have COVID, and it kind of looks like we're going to have COVID, in my uneducated opinion, almost like the flu. What's your message to people as we start this interview off, Dr. Russo, about COVID and how people should take it seriously?
Well, one is, I don't think these numbers are skyrocketing in my book, okay, to be honest with you. I mean, if they went up 200%, I would consider that skyrocketing. We're going to see these trends. We're going to see infection rates go up and down. I think this virus is here to stay. And you know what? The cold virus is here to stay. Yeah. We're not tracking that because it doesn't kill people for the most part. But the cold virus has been in our population for how long? This is a new virus, and it has potentially deadly consequences, and has potential consequences of ongoing healthcare issues. And being a new virus to our systems, biologically, our bodies are trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that that this is going to be a long-term event. And do you think, like the flu virus, where every year they try to come out with a vaccine that will handle the next generation of the flu, do you think that eventually that's where COVID-19 is heading?
Truthfully, that is really hard to say, because we're still trying to understand the nature of this virus. But I think probably what we'll be seeing is, because of the nature of this virus and what it can cause, probably an ongoing vaccination strategy. And we have to remember that from an evolutionary perspective, you know, as human beings or as frogs, you know, it's taken... you know, tens of thousands of years for shifts in for biological organisms. Viruses multiply by the millions. So in that multiplication of their DNA and RNA, they're going to have changes in their genetic makeup. And they're not that they're conscious, but they're biologically looking to survive and replicate. And really, a smart organism, a smart viral organism, is going to, in the long run, do the least harm to the organism it's infecting, because then it has more area to replicate. So I think we are going to see variations in the virus over time, and I think that we're going to have to respond with a shifting vaccine like we do with the influenza.
Now, we talk about the health consequences of COVID, and we know current, you know, when you get COVID, what happens to people right away when they get it and how serious they get it. Are we also, as a society, and as a medical society and scientist, investigating, the long-term effects of someone who comes down with COVID?
Well, I think we still don't have long-term yet. Yeah. Be honest with you, but I think that we will be looking at that. Just as, you know, there are potential long-term effects of the influenza virus, and they're not necessarily common, but they do exist. So what we're looking at is some people are having some developing some lung disease, developing some issues with breathing that are lasting for a while, but a lot of those people seem to recover too. So I think that we're going to be learning from this virus. From the medical community, we hopefully will be able to move forward from it. It's what makes this difficult is that this is a worldwide infection. And it's airborne, so it's out there. It's easy to come in contact with, and I know that people are really tired in dealing with this. I sure am tired dealing with it. I'm tired of wearing a mask. I mean, ironically, I ended up going shopping the other day, and I forgot my mask in the car, and I kind of was knowing I forgot something. I almost felt naked, like I had forgot to put my pants on. But at the same time, I don't like wearing a mask, but it does offer a level of protection for other people. Where I get coffee in the morning, I encourage the people there to wear masks, especially now since we're shifting our behavior. It's getting colder out. We're congregating more inside. You know, we talk about the Omicron variant, but these variants are to be expected. And we want to protect ourselves, our loved ones, our neighbors, the people standing in line in back of us. You know, it's the social, physical distancing is still going to be important. The hand washing, the wearing the masks. And it's how do we balance that out with our needs as individuals, as family members, in our day-to-day existence, and not driving ourselves bonkers.
Yeah, well, it's funny when you mentioned about you walk into a store without a mask. About 2.5 months ago, I've been very good about wearing a mask when I go into stores. I got out of my car and I walked to a door to go into a convenience store, and I stopped. I didn't have my mask on. So I didn't go to the convenience store that day, but now I have a supply of masks that are in my car. So if I get out and I'm going to go to a store, I know I have masks there. I don't like wearing masks. Nobody likes wearing masks. You're right, but it's just a very little thing that you have to do when you're going to go out and you're going to go into a store to make sure that hey, you keep people safe and you keep yourself safe. It's just one of those things. So now we look at COVID-19 and we look at the infection rates and you as somebody who's at community health and wellness, how has this affected what you at community health and wellness do? Has it changed your protocols? I know you wear masks and everything, but other protocols, has it made it harder for you to reach the individuals you need to reach?
I'm not sure about the reaching part. I think that you know we screen people, and we're more cautious about because we're thinking not just of the individual person now, but also about everybody else in that area that could be affected. And that includes providers, nurses, our receptionists, everybody that's coming in contact with everybody else. We're very cautious about educating on how to protect themselves and other people. I think that we're, in the sense of making appointments and seeing patients, I think that we're back to doing what we were doing before. At the initial onset of the pandemic, I think everything had slowed down, and reaching out. I think there was a lot of anxiety about how do we protect. I think we have a better idea of what we need to do, how we protect, what we need to look for.
Now, we're speaking once again with Dr. Rocco Russo, who is the Medical Director, Community Health and Wellness. And we're speaking today about COVID and its impact and the way we respond to it. When you look at COVID, and you mentioned this, and it's very interesting, that it's a worldwide pandemic, which we all know, but I think people don't realize, and you touched upon it, once again, is that, you can be very well vaccinated in whatever country you live in or whatever county you live in, but how do we equalize out across the world, so the larger populations of countries that aren't as developed, so they get vaccinated, because you're not gonna succeed unless a certain amount of people around the whole globe take that vaccination.
Right, and I guess a better question is that potential for worldwide vaccination possible? And we already know that it is. How many of us think about smallpox? Those of us that are older remember and can still look at on our arm at the scar from our smallpox vaccine. But we no longer vaccinate routinely against smallpox because we had a worldwide vaccination eradication program. And that, you know, that's one of those successes. So those things are possible. I think it is how do we reach out across borders? How do we reach out just among ourselves? It's a time, I think, for really sitting back and saying, how do I, as in part of my community, in part of my state, my county, my country, how do I do things to help mitigate the effects of this? But also, how do I sort of protect my neighbor, protect my loved ones? In small ways, our interactions can have big effects. It is a time that we all have frustrations with this, but it's also a time to take a step forward and saying, what's a kind approach to approach other people that are in my community? And that doesn't mean, you know, you have to be delivering meals on wheels. It could be how do I just say hello to someone again? Mm-hmm. And let them know there that we're all engaged with each other. So this can be a very exciting time to rebuild in that sense.
Take advantage. That's exactly right. Take advantage of the situation in other ways. Now, for people that are listening to us now and missed our first interview and aren't really aware, let's talk a little bit about Community Health and Wellness, the center, which sooner or later is going to come to our area up in North Canaan. You are based in Torrington, Connecticut. If people want more information on you, by the way, chwcttorr.org. That's chwcttorr.org. For people that are listening and maybe haven't heard yet, explain exactly what Community Health and Wellness Center does and how it does it.
Well, we're a federally qualified community health center. We basically provide primary care medical services. We also have behavioral health services available, dental services available, podiatry services, and chiropractic services. All with that, we have people that are community outreach workers. So we basically help people negotiate the medical system. We work with people that have no insurance, people that have Medicaid or state insurance, Medicare, or regular commercial insurances. For people that are have no insurance or have trouble getting access to insurance, depending on their income levels, we work with a sliding scale. We do not turn anyone away for care.
So you're really an important step, especially as we are finding out here in the northwest corner with losing physicians in various towns. And just a reminder for people that it might take a year or two longer, but your center is going to be opening up shop in Canaan, Connecticut. Already have purchased property and still have a lot of steps to go through to get there. But as we look to the future, Dr. Russo, you're going to become even more important, especially out here in the less populated areas of whatever state you're in.
Yes, we're in Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also forgot, we also have dietary services. So, yes, I mean, part of it is that our goal is for the looking at the health care of the community at large. And, you know, currently we're going to be doing vaccination clinics also for COVID and ongoing testing for communities. And the idea is how do we as an organization make healthcare accessible to people, whether it's a physical, meaning rural type of scenario, or economic. So how do we make healthcare accessible, and how do we do it in a way that works for the person?
Once again, Community Health and Wellness Center. If you want more information, folks, chwctorr.org. Dr. Russo, once again, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule and joining us today on Robin Hood Radio.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for putting up with my lack of ability to publicly speak.
This is
almost as bad as wearing a mask, okay?
I think you did just fine. Thank you very much, Dr. Russo.
Thank you. Have a good day, and everybody have a good holiday season.
All right. Thanks, Doc.